WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Hello, Bride. WATB.TV is proud to announce our very first show coming up November 7th at 7 p.m. It's called Toss, the Original State Show. It's a show about weight loss. It's bringing to the conversation to the table that the bride has an epidemic of being overweight. We are not ready for the harvest. We need to get our bodies under self-control and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring in the harvest. Amen. This show will have a panel of three women ministers, Dr. June Knight from We Are the Bride Ministries, Chaplain Yolanda Walker from Trifold Ministries, and Prophetess Teresa Nichols from Three Sheep Ministries. These panels will feature guest ministers to talk about the various topics of what we're facing as the bride, especially ministers. This show is geared towards ministry leaders and how we need to get in shape for the harvest. So this show will feature preaching, prayer, and professional interviews from doctors, personal trainers, and therapists about weight loss for the Bride of Christ. We need to get our temple in order because the King is coming. Get in shape for the harvest and get our bodies under self-control and discipline. Amen, Bride. Listen, we can do this. We can do this. So get ready, Army. The harvest is coming. Amen. Before time began, our omnipotent and powerful God wrote our destiny book. He wrote our story to reveal to mankind another aspect of His glory. In this book, He means for our bodies to be in its original state. The enemy's plan is to cause the bride to distort the temple and cause us to be less efficient in the kingdom. Toss, the original state show, challenges the bride to take our temples back, gain self-control, and be all that God wrote in your book. Give God the pen and live your original state. The Toss Show will premiere on WATB.TV on Monday, November 7th at 7 p.m. Tune in once again on WATB.TV. Hello, Bride. Good evening on this awesome Friday night. Look, we are getting so close to Christmas. Can you believe what God has done in 2016? Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be here with an intercessor. You know, this ministry is about prayer, so we partner with people like this that give their whole lives to pray for the bride and to pray for God's will to be done on the earth. So give it up tonight for intercessor Miriam Ferrar. Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, Jim. Thanks for having me tonight.
Yes, now your ministry is called Heart of Intercession Ministry in Nashville, Tennessee, correct?
That's right.
Okay, Bride, let me read a little bit of her bio, and then we're going to ask her, what did God do to take her from nothing and make her into something? Miriam Ferrar has a multifaceted call to intercession. In addition to a governmental anointing, she has taught prayer to inner-city children. She has written articles on places of spiritually historic interest, She has been involved in leadership of a citywide meeting to build relationships with spirit-filled leaders. And she loves to give spiritual historical tours of Nashville, Tennessee, where she also led a weekly prayer meeting for revival. Her current assignment is to pray for the ministry of Pastor Kimball Knight and his message to teach congregations to pray for their pastors. As founder of Heart of Intercession Ministries, Marion's chief desire is to seek the heart of God and to know him and his ways. She is ordained under the ministry of James and Michael Ann Gall, or Mikhail. Marion has been married for 38 years, has two grown daughters, and she has lived most of her life in Nashville, Tennessee, where she believes revival is imminent. Yay for Nashville! I was born and raised in Nashville myself. Now, let me ask you this, Miss Marion. How did you get the name Heart of Intercession?
Well, actually, when I had the opportunity to become ordained under James Gall and his wife, Michael Ann, I also had the opportunity at that time to come under his ministry umbrella with my own ministry, and I thought, well, it's time to name it. So actually, a friend of mine and I prayed together, and she kept getting something about heart. And it's funny, lots of times people will pray for me, and they start talking to me about God's heart or my heart. And I always know that, you know, that's the Lord when that happens. So God picked it out for me, that name.
Well, that's awesome. I know James Gall, he has a big prayer ministry himself, right?
He does, and he has been such a gift to the body of Christ here in Nashville. Of course, he travels internationally.
Right.
And is probably one of the most published authors on prophetic intercession. He's a tremendous writer and author. But he has, through the years, he and his wife both have chosen to have classes and teach us. I just can't tell you how much learned from him. You know, I said classes on angelic encounters, classes on intercession and the Moravian light lampstand, and I just could go on and on and on. Deliverance from darkness.
Right.
I would encourage our listeners to go to his website and order his books. He has really been suffering from a bad back problem and is not able to travel. So, if you want to bless
him. Well, what's his website?
It is, well, you can just Google his name, James Gall, G-O-L-L, or you can look up Encounters Network, either one, you will find him. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Ms. Marion, if you don't mind taking us back in time and telling us, who is Marion? Like, what was your family like growing up? What did God do to call you? Do you come from a family of preachers or what?
Well, that's interesting you asked that. When I have looked back in my family tree, I think I'm the 12th generation of ministers that I can trace it back.
Wow, that is awesome.
Isn't it? Yeah. Actually,
yes,
I have two
12.
Martyrs. Yeah, I have two martyrs that were part of the Reformation and, gave their lives for their Protestant beliefs when the Queen tried to force them to be a part of the Catholic Church, and they were reformers. So I hope some of that anointing comes on down to me. But I did grow up in the church. I was in a liturgical church that was not evangelical at all. Now, my sister, somehow or another, through all that, managed to find the Lord, and I always believed in God, but nobody ever told me I had to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I was in a still the same liturgical church, but it was a very evangelical church, kind of an oxymoron for them. I did hear the message, and I thought, oh, I need to do that. And I always figure if you don't know if you're saved or not, you're probably not saved. And that's where I was
right.
at that time. So, you know, I had a lot more light in my life. And at that time, I was just in my early 20s. And so I just proceeded on with my life and got married and had my first child. And but I was really, I had depression after my first child was born, and it just didn't seem to be getting any better. It was just a really hard time, and I was crying
out.
Yeah,
it's a serious thing, yeah.
It really is, yeah, and depression is so rampant in the body of Christ and all across America. It's a hard thing to deal with. But I went to see a friend of mine, and she said, I had actually worked at what is now Lifeway in the art department. My degree was in graphic design. And I had a sweet Baptist friend who was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I went over to her house and was kind of telling her what was going on in my life, and she said, oh, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so she prayed for me, and wow, from that time on, my life was never the same. I mean,
wow.
I knew the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I knew the Lord, but I really was not, you know, engaged in the kingdom not very much. I mean, I'd read my Bible occasionally. It was kind of a struggle, but being baptized in the Holy Spirit changed all of that and turned
right.
me into an on-fire believer in Jesus Christ. So the Lord did heal me of depression, and I just kind of slowly walked out of it. I would spend time worshiping. I would go out and walk. Exercise is one of the best things you can do when you're depressed.
Come on now.
It is. And get those endorphins up. Yeah. And so I would walk and exercise and listen to worship music. And then every time I got a chance, I would get prayer. I went to a church that had a healing anointing. And so I was always getting prayer. And the Lord would say to me, I'm going to heal you today while you're standing up. And then another time he would say, I'm going to heal you today while you're sitting down. And it was a real interesting progression. So I believe all those things are key. God's healing, anointing, but do everything you can in the physical. Worship and get out and exercise. So,
right.
you know, just never been the same, you know, years and years ago, depression would occasionally come back and knock on my door. But once you're healed and delivered from something, you have authority over it. And so I would rebuke it, and I never, never, ever have any trouble with depression anymore. It doesn't even come knocking occasionally. Not at all. And,
right.
Another wonderful experience I had with the Lord was being healed of allergies. I didn't have them too bad, I guess, till I got in my 20s and 30s. By the time I was in my mid-30s, I was really having a lot of trouble. And my sister had been healed of allergies, maybe 10 or 15 years before that, when there was a revival outbreak in Nashville, Tennessee. There was a church called the Lord's Chapel, and she was a member of that church, and God would move powerfully. And she had really, really bad allergies, and the Lord healed and delivered her. So I knew if he did it for her, he could do it for me, and I kept holding on to that. And one day that did happen. I'll tell you a quick story on that. I had gone to see Bill Johnson speak at a local church, and I got there early to save seats, and his team were walking around praying for people, and I would start talking to one of the guys and on this team, and while we were talking, he said, do you have sinus and allergy trouble? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, let me pray for you. Would you like me to? Would you like to be healed of it? And my faith was so low. I looked at him and said, well, I've been prayed for so many times. I can't believe now I even said that to him, but I did.
Yeah.
So he prayed for me, and then I went into the meeting, and Bill Johnson started speaking. And, oh, my,
it wasn't long until my faith was soaring. And I could see the guy that had prayed for me. He wasn't sitting too far away. So I wrote him a note and said, I received God's healing for my allergies, and I repent that of my unbelief, and pass it over to him. And then I went home that night, and I just wanted some way to, you know, demonstrate that God had healed me. And Bill Johnson had spoken of childlike faith. So I had recently found my little easy bake oven pans in the attic. So I went up and got one of those little pans. I didn't still have the oven. So I put, I was allergic to wheat, very difficult allergy. So I put a couple of rolls in that little pan, put it in the toaster oven, baked them, and ate them as an expression of my childlike faith. The Lord had mercy. He's so gracious. And,
yes, he is.
And he healed me in spite of my unbelief at the beginning there.
Right.
So I guess my life has been a continual walk of faith. We all go
through
process.
Well, how did that happen to go from that to an intercession ministry?
Well, you know, I guess when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it'll be almost 30 years next September. When I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, I just felt called to pray. I love to pray, and it was just like the anointing and unction for prayer just came on me immediately. Now, I had a lot to learn about prayer, but I just always had that connection, I guess, to the Lord through prayer.
Right.
So I always
right.
spent time in prayer and just loved to pray. I went to every prayer meeting in town, and I don't go to all of them anymore, but I do pray and ask the Lord which ones to send me to, and I love to go to pray. Yeah, I love to pray for my city. I love to pray for my family. I still pray for my two girls, even though they're grown, in a Moms in Prayer International meeting. I meet with about eight other moms. We all have children that are either in college or in careers, and we continue to pray for them. We see God move so powerfully. So I just love to pray.
Well, let me ask you this, Miss Marion. I'm going to kind of pull off your wisdom for a little bit first. How can people get in touch with you? How can they find out more about your ministry? I know you have a Facebook page.
Yeah, that would be the best way to get in touch with me. I'm kind of a closet ministry. I'm not out there doing a lot of, you know, noticeable things. But
right.
Facebook page, it's Heart of Intercession Ministry. And I do have a few things posted there. And you can message me through that Facebook page. I would love to hear from your listeners.
Okay, well, I am going to pull off your wisdom a little bit. You know, you was on the broadcast with us last week where we had a representative of the fivefold offices on there talking about the elections in America. Now we are a week away from the elections. We're, like, so close. Our nation, this is a very, very pivotal moment in our nation. I would love to hear your input. Bride, you probably don't know this, but she is a researcher, and she researches numbers, and she is a studier of history. So I would like for you to explain to us, what do you see about numbers, and what do you see prophetically about what is going on in our nation?
I'd be glad to, Jen. The election is November 8th, and I have to say this caught my eye because, actually, that's my birthday. And yeah, I celebrate every year on November 8th, but I believe I'm going to have a big celebration. Good reason to celebrate this year.
Right, amen.
So I started looking at the significance of those numbers. I could remember Election Day had fallen on my birthday maybe a couple times before, but I really wanted to look it up and see if there's any significance there. And, of course, November is the 11th month. That's the number of transition. we vote on November 8th, but it's not till January 2017 that we'll actually have a president take office. And then the number eight itself is the number for new beginnings. It's also the number for superabundance, which I just think that sounds awesome. God wants to do
it
something.
It sure does. Amen. We
it's
need abundance in this nation.
We do. I have heard some prophecies. I think maybe the Lord's spoken to you, too, that we are to come into a time of refreshing, and I think it'll be an abundance of this Holy Spirit for the next 7 or 8 years. So I think this is a pivotal time, and God does want to do something new. It's be a new era to start. And I continue to look at November 8th. Election Day is the first Tuesday following the first Monday every year. That's what Congress voted on in 1848. So when I looked at that, there were six other times Election Day has fallen on November 8th. This will be the seventh time. And when I looked at seven, I got...
Oh, yeah, we know the number seven.
It's the number for completion.
Yes.
Perfection. But more importantly than that, even, it's the number for covenant. And I think sometimes we have a hard time really grasping and understanding covenant. But
I know it. Amen.
Yeah, it's really key to all theology, just about all theology. Charles Spurgeon says, no subject is more important or so fully the key to all theology as that of covenant. And, of course, God has a covenant with us. And that's what I started thinking immediately. It's because of His covenant promise to us, the United States, and our ancestors who came and to this land and prayed and dedicated this country to the Lord. We do have a covenant with God, but the exciting thing about covenant, it's not with God. It's not like other covenants with man. God has all the responsibility of doing something on our side. And we just have to have that commitment to Him and choose Him. And He does it for us. A covenant between two people would be each one exchanging and doing something for the other, making a commitment. But God's covenants are all one-sided, and they're all about Him. It's His nature to bless us. It's His nature to have mercy on us. So it's just a wonderful thing to be in covenant with God. But to me, even more important than His covenant to us is His covenant to Israel. And this is the heart of God. Israel is still the apple of His eye. And He was to see Israel come into their fullness. And some people are saying that judgment has already come to our nation, that God is through with America. And I don't think that's so, because I think America still has a purpose to fulfill in our relationship with Israel. As we stand with Israel, it's going to cause things to happen that are part of the prophecy, the prophetic word that God wants to fulfill for Israel. So, to me, it's like, I don't think, unless we just went into this utter rebellion against God, I just don't believe He's going to let us down on this election. To me, covenant is saying, I remember you. I wrote you on the palm of my hand. I haven't forgotten you. And He needs us to help fulfill prophecy to Israel. So I think for that reason, He's not going to let us go. He's got this election under control. But that's not to say that we aren't to do anything. We are still to pray,
seek him. God's promises to us are often contingent on what we do, and we have to act, we have to vote, we have to tell other people what the light is that we see.
Right.
And there are lots of people undecided, both believers and unbelievers, and we should not think that we don't carry enough light to influence other people. We do. People are hungry for what we have.
Yes, they are.
And we need to find those people in our lives that are undecided and just speak light and truth to them. It's up to God to change their hearts. But
right.
We have a duty to speak that out.
Well, as you was on the broadcast the other night, you know, we had that prophet, that prophetess that actually prophesied Trump was going to be president, that God has heard the cries of his people, and that he is going to grant us 7 years of plenty, 7 years of mercy to give us time to reap in the harvest and then the judgment, meaning he's given us grace to do the harvest, do what he's called us to do before the judgment, because we all know, I mean, we have spit in his face a lot with a lot of our policies as a nation, you know, and, I mean, we deserve the judgment by all right, you know. So what do you think about that?
Well, Jen, I just have to believe God's heard our prayers. There's been a prayer movement in our nation over the last several years that's just really unprecedented.
Right.
God's trying to wake us up. And I think at least part of the church is waking up. And I just can't believe that he hasn't heard our prayers. I think about when God told Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham came before him and said, Lord, for 50 people in this city, 50 righteous people in this city, will you not destroy it for these 50?
Right.
I said, yes. Right. And then Abraham went back, and I think it was next, I can't remember if it was 40 or 35, but he kept going back until he got down to 10. And he said, God, for 10 righteous people, would you still destroy this city? And this is where I remember some of my teaching from James Gall. He said, what if Abraham had continued on until he got down to one person? And what would God's response have been?
Right,
so
right.
I just believe, you know, my prayer is, Lord, have we not prayed enough? How many prayers does it take to fill up that bowl of intercession before you would tap your blessing back on us?
Yeah.
And I think if we're not full, we're close to being brimming, to brimming over. I think.
Well, as we've heard in those debates that we've had, the presidential nominees, I mean, the choice is very clear. Like, the line has been drawn in the sand. One has an evil agenda. The other one wants to bless the Christians. So it's like God helped the Christians to not pay attention to the natural, but listen to the supernatural. Amen. What do you say about that?
Well, it's been kind of a funny, it's been a funny election, a funny time, and I think people in their heads like to see all those little box checks. I think people want to elect a pastor for president, not just the man for the power. I heard somebody say that, and I think it's true.
That is funny. I've never heard that. That is funny.
Yeah. And,
somebody perfect. I get you.
Right. Right. So I think God has an imperfect man for us, and I think a lot of Christians are really stumbling over that.
They are.
It's not a head matter where you can figure it out by analyzing everything. It's really a matter of heart and seeing God as seeing God's man as God sees him.
Right.
So, you know, seeking the Lord is the most important thing we can do, but not everybody gets a prophetic word when they pray. We all have different anointings. And I did hear, I think it was early December last year in 2015, I said, Lord, what do you have to say about Trump?
and I heard immediately that he was a Cyrus. And at first I was offended. I thought, oh, my God.
Why was you offended?
Well, Trump offended me. He did. And
I didn't
tell anybody. And I started researching in my Bible for times that God offended his people. Well, God doesn't offend his people. His people choose to be offended.
Wow.
That's what I found out in Scripture. And it's just a natural reaction of our flesh. But I did finally tell somebody what I heard, and she told me, oh, you need to hear what Lance Wallnau has to say. And he had the same word. He'd gotten it.
I've heard it from many people.
You've heard what?
I've heard it from many people, the very same thing.
Yeah, a number of people, yeah. So there is a multitude of witnesses for confirmation.
Yeah.
And I think if we pray and seek the Lord for ourselves, then after you pray and seek the Lord for yourself, it is good to look and see what people across the body of Christ are saying. And
exactly.
I had heard of Lance Wallnau. I hadn't really followed him before, but I believe God's raised him up as just a truth sayer in this hour. And he has a lot for people to hear.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you please explain to the bride what you mean by a modern-day Cyrus? There may be people listening to this broadcast that have not read the story. So can you tell them?
Right, yes. Well, Cyrus, you can read about him in Isaiah 45. That's one of the key scriptures. And we are electing our 45th president. But Cyrus was an unbeliever, and the Lord sent him to Israel. The Israelites, at that time, they were in captivity in Babylon, and they had been crying out.
That is like us.
It is like us.
Exactly.
He sent them, not one of their own to deliver them, but an unbeliever, a man who didn't even believe in God.
Wow.
But what he called Cyrus to do was just amazing. I'll read you. This is Isaiah 44:28. It talks about God who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd or ruler, and he shall perform all my pleasure and fulfill all my purpose. Even saying of Jerusalem, she shall again be built, and of the temple.
Wow, that is exactly like Trump.
Isn't it? And that's what we've been praying for. Our foundations of this nation have been destroyed, some of them, and taken away.
Yes.
And Trump is a builder. He will come back, I think, and rebuild some of those broken down places in the wall. Nehemiah was in Cyrus's time period, and under his unction, he was able to go out and rebuild the wall. Fascinating what Isaiah 45 says. If you'd like me to read three or four more verses.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Isaiah 45:1 says, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will unarm and ungird the loins of kings to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and level the mountains to make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by my name.
Wow.
I just think that's fascinating.
That is so
to me, it fits the bill for what our nation needs. It really, really does.
Right, exactly.
So people to check Lance Wallnau out. There's some others I follow. James Dobson has come out of Word with calling Trump a Cyrus. Watch Hank Kuhneman and Sid Ross. You can pull all these up. See what other people are saying.
And it's good fuel to talk to other people about, to give you more specific information to talk about why God would choose a man like Trump.
Right. Well, Brian, look, we're only, what, 10 days away from the election. We definitely need to be praying that the bride would rise up and take her place in the army and would take our country back. And like I said on the broadcast, with the election broadcast, in 2008, we changed the world because we come out of the closet. And we come out and was it 2008 or 2000? It was the one where we turned it for Bush, his second election. So it was 2004 or 5. But anyway, something 2006.
Yeah, 2004, I think. Because 2008 was Obama and 2012.
Yeah, it was the one before that. But we changed the world because we was called values voters. We got out and we voted our values. Okay, but after that, we quit voting our values. Now that is the main point. We need to vote our values and to bring God's agenda back to America. That's the key difference. And they said that in this last debate. Even Hillary Clinton said herself, the vast difference of this election is our agenda. She wants to take it extremely liberal left, and he wants to take it conservative right. So God help us to make the right decisions. Okay, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, Bride, and when we come back, Miss Marion is going to share what the Holy Spirit gave her for us. One moment. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Okay, Miss Marion, if you would go ahead and share the word that the Lord gave.
All right, thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm going to go back and kind of pick up where I left off with the revelation about November 8. Like I said, November is a number for completion, perfection, and also the number for covenant. And 8 is the number for new beginnings. But when they are together in Scripture, it is an amazing thing that happens. It's even more explosive when you see 7 and 8 together. For instance, in the Old Testament, we see 7 covenants listed, but the 8th covenant is the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's not just a better covenant, it's exponentially better. Another example in Scripture is the Temple of Ezekiel. There were 7 steps to get up to the outer court. But to get in the inner court, you had to go up 8 steps. And then there are lots of examples, and I'll just give you one more, and this is out of the New Testament. In Colossians, it talks about 8 graces. The first 7 are, this is Colossians 3:12-14. It says to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. But the 8th of these graces is love, which is the bond of perfection. Put on love on top of all those others. So that's a wonderful illustration of how 7 and 8 work together. That excites me. So when God is talking to us about
November 8th being the seventh time that election has been on the 8th of November, he's saying to us, remember my covenant. When you see November 8th for the seventh time, remember my covenant. And my covenant is, I remember you. I am your God, and you are my people. And as we look at that in relation to God's covenant to Israel, Trump, I want to call him President Trump already, Trump has said in a speech that he was a true friend to Israel. He also stated he is a newcomer to politics, but not to backing the Jewish state. So I believe supporting Israel is one of the most important reasons to vote for a candidate. To support Israel is to stand with God. And another reason that grabs the heart of a lot of people is the issue of abortion. We should remember where Trump stands on abortion. It would be wonderful to have a pro-life president in the office and a man like Trump. I listened to...
Amen, sister. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. I listened to John Paul Jackson on a... I found him on YouTube, and he talked to, of course, he's passed away now. He's been gone, what, 2 or 2.5 years, something like that? I can't remember. But I found an interview on there, and he talked about having a dream, and he saw a steamroller, and it was rolling over all these cars, and it kept on rolling until it rolled right into the White House. And I think we have that steamroller anointing on Donald Trump. I mean, that's what he can do.
Wow, that is profound, sister.
Isn't that? And
that is good, yes.
Familiar with John Paul Jackson, but I urge you just to go to YouTube and find him. He's
I know all about him, yeah.
Yeah, he always taught on dreams and the power of dreams, and he was a strong, strong prophet. And the Lord gave him several years what was going to happen in our nation. But all the prophecies contingent on us and our prayers. So we have to pray these things in. We can't just listen and wait for God to do something. We need to pray and declare these things. So John Paul Jackson said God wants to bring refreshing times to us. And I think having Trump in the White House would be part of that refreshing time, as he is a friend to evangelicals. He is a friend to conservative causes.
Yes, he is, and continues seeking prayer from them, too.
That's right. So that's important. And just go and look at the two-party platforms and see the difference. My stomach turns, I have to say, when I read the Democratic Party platform. I just, we can't have those agendas coming into our nation and being furthered. It just makes my heart sick. And then go to the individual campaign pages online for Trump and Hillary Clinton and just look at where they stand on the issues. And people just have to get past Trump's personality and his bravado. That's just who he is. Many are saying that have met him personally that he has come to know the Lord. And I think we are seeing a softening of his heart. I think he has been humbled. And if you watch, you can see this. And I would encourage our listeners just to watch what they say. You know, June, as Christians, our words carry a lot of weight. The earth with a spoken word, and we carry power with our words. So I would encourage people not only to pray, but watch what they say. There's no point in us just pulling down either of these people. You know, Jean, the last 20 years, the Lord has spoken to me about the president every election. And I'm going to make myself real vulnerable here and say something that is probably not very popular or may not be well understood.
Right.
When Bill Clinton ran against Bob Dole, I guess that was, what, the 90s? And I would pray and ask the Lord, Lord, who should I vote for? And every time I would pray, the Lord would remind me of that parable in the New Testament. It's in the Gospels. And it was a parable where the father had the vineyard and he had two sons. And he would say, go work in my vineyard. And one said, yes, Father, I will go. And he went initially, but then he quit. And then the other one said, no, Father, I'm not going. And then later he changed his mind and went. And I would say, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? And I really felt like the Lord was saying that Bill Clinton did have a heart for God. As a young boy and a young man, he went to a Pentecostal church with his mother, and the Lord saw his heart. And I really think if the church had prayed for Bill Clinton, if they had watched their mouths, if they had not been so critical, then that door of adultery would never have been opened. This is what happens when Christians don't pray and when they don't speak well of their officials. We're told to lift them up in prayer. And I pray for Obama just like I pray for anybody else. And I prayed for Bill Clinton, but he did not come into what God had for him. And that may shock some people to say that, but, you know, we see that in people in our own lives. You see somebody that you know has a heart for God, and yet they turn into rebellion and turn away. And I just firm believer in prayer and what we declare with our mouth, that it can turn a person, it can turn a nation. So that's my encouragement to say today about prayer and watching our mouths. I hope that was understood.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I'll come back to my word on November 8th here. I just believe that we are coming into a time like it's never been seen on this earth. And God has a plan. Nothing should surprise him. He is a God of all ages and times. So I want to go back and look at those previous election days that fell on November 8th. These days were many firsts, and there were new beginnings. So we only had this regulation about election day being on the first Tuesday following the first Monday since 1848. So the first time election day fell on November 8th, it was 1864. Abraham Lincoln was elected to his second term as president. Now, he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation freeing all slaves in his first term, but it was not till the Civil War ended that freedom became a reality for all slaves. Unfortunately, Lincoln's life was cut short, and he did not actually see this new era of freedom coming in. He was the 16th president of the United States. Now, I listened to Lance Wallnau last night on the Jim Baker show. I would encourage our listeners to look up that Jim Baker show. It was, I think, aired about the week of October 20th, 21st, something like that, a week ago. But I'm sure you can find it in Jim Baker's archives on his website. And also you can find it on Lance Wallnau's Facebook page. But Lance called Abraham Lincoln another Cyrus. Lincoln never went to church. Now, many felt in the crucible of the Civil War that he did come to know the Lord. And he quoted scripture, quoted from his Bible. He knew his Bible. And I think he probably did know the Lord. But he was not a churchgoer at all. But he was God's man for the time, just like Winston Churchill was God's man for his time. Now, I think he was a pretty rough character. I don't think the evangelical community would have supported Churchill, but he was God's man for the time. He was another Cyrus. Okay, 1864 was the first time it fell on November 8th. 1892 was the second time, and Grover Cleveland was elected. I'm sorry, I've got my dates mixed up here. He won in 1884 for the first time. And then he ran again in 1888 and lost. But it was when he ran for election in 1892 for his second term that he became 24th president of the United States. And I believe that the third time, what reason he won was because the election was on November 8th. God had something new he wanted to bring in. And
right.
He made sure Grover Cleveland got in. He was the man for the hour. He is known as the, let's see, President Grover Cleveland is remembered for leading the nation into what became known as the modern presidency. It was a new era in this nation. So I like Grover Cleveland. I thought, gosh, to run for president three times, to have lost the second and come back again and won and win again, that's amazing. Now, he lost.
That is amazing.
He lost not the popular vote, but he lost the Electoral College vote, and that's why he didn't get in. I'm praying for this election that it's clearly delineated, that the popular vote and the electoral vote line up this year on November 8th. Okay, the third time it fell on November 8th was President Theodore Roosevelt. And he first served as president following the assassination of President McKinley in 1901. But in 1904, on November 8th, he was elected by the people to be the 26th president. And he is considered the first modern president because he significantly expanded the influence and the power of the executive office. A new era of the autonomy of the presidential office became dominant in Theodore Roosevelt's second term. Now, the fourth time it happened was in 1932. President Franklin D. Roosevelt became the 32nd president of the United States, and he was known for his New Deal that brought us out of the Great Depression. So that was a new thing God wanted to do, and he was the man for the hour. America needed what Franklin D. Roosevelt brought in. And the fifth time it fell on November 8th, President John Kennedy was elected in 1960. He became the youngest president ever elected, and that's hugely significant, and also the first Roman Catholic. And while we don't think that was a really big deal, it was a huge deal at the time. I was a child in 1960, and I remember all those debates. But it brought in another new era. Kennedy's presidency came to be known as the ascendance of youthful idealism in the aftermath of World War II. He was another man for the hour. The sixth time it happened was 1988 with the election of George H.W. Bush as the 41st president of the United States. Within 2 years, our nation became involved in the Persian Gulf War. And this was a different kind of war for our nation, and it was the first war since the Cold War. It miraculously ended in 42 days. President Bush himself spoke that a new world order had begun. So
yes.
Here we are at the seventh time. November 8th has been Election Day. And like I said before, we'll elect the 45th president of the United States. So I think it's a highly significant time. I think God is, like I said over and over, that he is reminding us of his covenant with us. Another thing we haven't talked about, we just started the new Hebraic year of 5777. And if God's not talking about seven this time, I don't know what's going on. Because this is
right.
A multiplied seven. So,
yes.
And we are electing a president who will take office in 2017. So I just get really excited about what God's going to do with. And I just don't think that we need to be afraid in this hour. I think
no, definitely not.
Turn that TV off and quit listening to people that are not speaking truth. I don't think the polls reflect what really is going on. We have, you know, people that are doing those polls that are not conservatives. They're not on our side. So,
right, exactly.
And I think, you know, God's covenant to us is not to be afraid, that he's going to take care of us no matter what happens. So he really with him without fear. I think it's time to pray and watch the hand of the Lord move. We've got, what, 10 days left?
I know, we're so close. But listen, Marion, I'm going to have to stop you. We're at the end of our broadcast. But we're going to ask, Bride, that you come in agreement with us for Miss Marion, because God has chosen her to be on this broadcast for such a time as this. It's for elevation. It's for promotion. It's for expanding your borders. And look, Bride, we can participate with her vision. You know this ministry, this broadcast, is all about highlighting people's missions, because this is the time for the army to line up according to the will of God and with heaven. We are aligning ourselves with heaven's will on earth. So we can agree that she, what God has put on the inside of her, will come to pass. Because as she is blessed, we are blessed. Amen. Because the kingdom, we're all the hand, the tail, everything. So we all work together. So, Lord, the bride together comes together in unity across the world. We agree with heaven, with what you're doing in our sister, Lord. We thank you for everything that she has done. Her being the 12th one in her family, Lord, it may be more. She may not know. But, Lord, having the heritage that she does of ministry, a heritage of honoring you with their lives, Lord. May she carry that heritage, Lord, with all of the honor and glory to be able to do what you have called her to do, Lord. We thank you that she hears your voice, Lord. We thank you that she is tuned into heaven, Lord, that she has that open portal where she can pray and she can fight, and she has the revelation that our battle is not with flesh and blood, it's with the principalities and the powers of the air, Lord. Increase her territory, Lord. Increase her borders, Lord. Increase the expounding of her voice, Lord. Increase tearing down the devils over regions, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in her life, Lord. We ask, Lord, as the bride, that you supply to her everything she needs to accomplish that mission, Lord. Give her all the tools and strategies that she is going to need. Open up the windows of heaven, Lord. Send people that will partner with her, Lord, that will intercede, Lord, and will help her to intercede, Lord, that will intercede for what her vision is too, Lord. Father God, we thank you for calling her for such a time as this, Lord. And just as she prophesied, Lord, we are headed into the greatest times that this world has ever seen, God. You rose her up for such a time as this, Lord. So, God, we just thank you and give you praise for our sister. Give her health in her body, Lord. Give her strength in her back, Lord. Increase her prayer life, Lord. Increase the prophetic. Increase the revelations from heaven, Lord, so that she can release those to the bride through books and release them through other avenues, God. Lord, we pray for her family. Lord, blessings upon her family. God, bless her family. And, Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that you help her, Lord, to partner with people that will help her to take her to the destiny that you have called her to do, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, sister, I would love it if you would please pray for our ministry and for the bride.
Oh, I would be honored, June. Thank you for that prayer.
Oh,
Lord, I lift up June and WATB and the Bride of Christ, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord. Just the perfect melting of hearts I see here, that June, through her ministry of radio and television, and then with the Bride of Christ, Lord, those three components that you've put together, June, communications, and the bride, Lord, I just see such excellence on this ministry, Lord God. Excellence, excellence, Lord God. And I just proclaim that there be no division that between communications and the bride, Lord, that the bride would wake up, that the bride would tune in, that the bride would hear what you want to bring to light through June and her ministry, Lord God. And I just decree that the gospel will prolifer through your ministry, June. I just see increase. I see a harvest of listeners coming in. Lord, make the word clear. Make the word clear through this ministry, Lord God. I pray
for
provision, Lord. Provision, Lord. The speakers, the all the technical components, the equipment, the computers, the recording equipment, Lord, and the people to serve, Lord God. We call them in. We call them in. We call in the bride to listen, Lord, to hear. Give them ears to hear. I just pray that the word would go through the nation and to the uttermost part of the earth to tune in, to hear what the Lord has to say, what the Lord has to speak through this ministry. And we push back the darkness that would come against this ministry in Jesus' name. We push back those twist your words.
Yes, Lord.
Cause disruptions in communications, those that gather themselves together and watch your steps and try and trip you up. We push them back. Lord God. And the Lord hears your cries. He hears your prayers. He puts your tears into a bottle and saves them. Thank you, Lord, that you are tender-hearted towards this ministry. You are tender-hearted to the bride of Christ. And it is your good pleasure, Lord, to give favor to this ministry, abundant favor, 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 favor on everything you have need of, on doors to open. Lord, we just ask the bride to lift up June and this ministry, Lord God, and to that their prayers would push you through the doors that the Lord has for you. When we say no to any doors that are resistant to the message that you have to bring, we say no to them in Jesus' name. And we command every door to open up and that the Lord would direct your feet, protect them from falling, that she may walk in the light of life and of the living. And we disagree with God. His word is yes and amen over what you are doing. Yes and amen. It brings him great joy to hear you minister to the bride of Christ, because the bride is his heart.
Well, let me tell you something. It was through great persecution in the beginning, because nobody's ever done this. This is a brand new thing where a ministry focused strictly on promoting everybody else's ministry.
Wow.
And so I went through a lot at first. You know, people were like, you should focus on your church only. You are being disloyal to your church. I'm like, I'm just obeying God, you know, type of deal. But anyway, God knows what he's doing. Now, listen, I would love for you, if you would please pray for the nation, since God has given you the word for the nation, if you would please pray for them before we get off here.
Absolutely. Well, Lord, we lift up the United States of America. We lift up people from coast to coast and border to border. We pull people out of the valley of indecision in Jesus' name.
Lord.
Put your people, whether they know you or not, that you would put them in the voting booth and that they would vote. What's your heart, Lord? Traditional marriage, pro-life, you know, Supreme Court justices that will be appointed to reflect those things. And the list goes on and on. Family, family, family. Lord, make it clear to your people. Make it clear. Lord, we ask you to send forth your angels to dispatch your word to all people, Lord God, but especially the Christian community. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. And if you don't vote, you're giving a vote to the candidate who believes in a liberal agenda that is the destruction of the family, which is the core of our nation. So we just bless the people, Lord God. We pray your covenant blessing over this nation.
Yes, Lord.
A covenant state. The state of Tennessee has made covenant with you. We've made covenant with Israel.
Yes.
We've made covenant with the Native Americans. We've come back and covered all those broken treaties and covenants that have been made in this state.
Yes.
So we champion the canopy of covenant across this nation.
Yes, we just decree, Lord.
the blood of Jesus is better than any other covenant. It's better than any word spoken by any liberal candidate. And we just decree the word of truth to go out through this nation.
And yes, Lord.
I encourage people to vote not only for the presidential candidates, but he needs a Congress that he can work with. So we just decree that you will move heaven and earth to put in senators and congressmen and women that will work with Donald Trump, that will work with the conservative Christian causes in this nation.
Yes,
still
Lord.
The foundation of this nation. And we just declare that truth and good Christian values will rule and reign in this nation. We declare it and we believe it. And we are trusting you, Lord, that you will go forth in our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood covenant. Hallelujah.
Yes, well, thank you so much, sister, for praying and imparting into us today about the numbers. This is a very significant election, according to the numbers and according to the prophetic. And also, I heard on the debate, not this last one, but the one before that said this is, no, it was this last one. This election will shape our nation for the next 45 years because of the Supreme Court justices that are about to be appointed, which affect our children. It affects our grandchildren. It affects our churches. You know, so it's a very huge election. Okay, sister, well, thank you so much. God bless you, and thank you for being on the radio with us.
Thank you. I love you, Jen. I love you, Bride, too.
All right. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.